nod and smile and be nice with Mead. "Don't you dare talk to your father like that!" screamed the Countess.
"And don't talk about Agnes like that," snarled Vlad.
"Did I use the word Agnes? Did I refer to her in any way?" said Lacrimosa coldly. "I don't believe I did. I wouldn't dream of mentioning her at all."
"I can't be having with this arguing," shouted the Count.
"That's it, isn't it?" said Lacrimosa.
"We don't argue. We just do what you say forever."
"We agreed."
"No, you agreed, and no one disagreed with you. Vlad was right."
"Indeed," said the Count, turning to his son. "Right about what, pray?"
Vlad's mouth opened and shut once or twice as he hastily assembled a coherent sentence.
"I may have mentioned that the whole Lancre business might be considered unwise."
"Oh," said the Countess, "you know so much about wisdom all of a sudden, and you're barely 200.
"Unwise?" said the Count.
"I'd say stupid," said Lacrimosa. "Little badges, gifts. We don't give anything. We're vampires. We take what we want. Like this."
She reached out, grabbed a man standing near her, and turned, mouth open and hair flying. And stopped, as if she'd been frozen. Then she buckled, one hand reaching for her throat, and glared at her father.
"What did you do?" she gasped. "My throat feels... You did something!"
The Count rubbed his forehead and pinched the bridge of his nose.
"Lackey!
And don't call me that! You know how I hate that!"
There was a brief scream from one of the lesser vampires behind them. Agnes couldn't remember his name. It was probably Fenrir or Maledicta or something. But she did recall that he preferred to be known as Gerald. He sagged to his knees, clawing at his throat. None of the other vampires looked very happy either. A couple of them were kneeling and groaning to the bewilderment of the citizens.
"I don't feel very well," said the Countess, swaying slightly. "I did say I didn't think wine was a good idea."
The Count turned and stared at Agnes. She took a step back.
"It's you, isn't it?"
he said.
"Of course it is!" moaned Lacrimosa. "You know that old woman put herself somewhere, and she must have known Vlad was soppy on that lump."
"She's not in here, is she?" said Perdita.
"Don't you know?" Agnes thought, backing away again.
"Well, I don't think she is. But is it me doing the thinking?
Look, she's hidden herself in that priest. We know it."
"No, we don't. You just thought that would be a smart thing for her to do, because everyone would think she's hiding in the baby."
"Why don't you just crawl back into your coffin and rot, you slimy little maggot?"
Agnes said. It wasn't that good, but impromptu insults are seldom well-crafted. Lacrimosa leapt at her, but something else was wrong. Instead of gliding through the air like velvet death, she lurched like a bird with a broken wing. But fury let her rear up in front of Agnes, one claw out to scratch. Agnes hit her as hard as she could, and felt Perdita get behind the blow as well. It shouldn't have been possible for it to connect. The girl was quick enough to run around Agnes three times before it could. But it did. The people of Escrow watched a vampire stagger back, bleeding. The mayor raised his head. Agnes went into a crouch, fists raised.
"I don't know where Granny Weatherwax went," she said. "Maybe she is in here with me, eh?"
A flash of mad inspiration struck her, and she added, in Granny's sharp tones,
"And if you strike me down again, I'll bite my way up through your boots."
"A nice try, Miss Knit," said the Count, striding towards her, "but I don't think so."
He stopped, clutching at the gold chain that was suddenly around his neck. Behind him, the mare hauled on it with all his weight, forcing the vampire to the ground. The citizens looked at one another and all moved at once. Vampires rose into the air, trying to gain height, kicking at clutching hands. Torches were snatched from walls. The night was suddenly full of screams. Agnes looked up at Vlad, who was staring in horror. Lacrimosa was surrounded by a closing ring of people.
"You'd better run," she said, "or they'll..."
He turned and lunged, and the last thing she saw was teeth. The track downhill was worse than the climb. Springs had erupted in every hollow, and every path was a rivulet. As Granny and Oates lurched from mud slough to bog, Oates reflected on the story in the Book of Om, the story, really, about the prophet Bruther and his journey with Om across the burning desert which had ended up changing Omnianism forever. It had replaced swords with sermons, which at least caused fewer.